but we didn't get a chance to finish it, so I wanted to finish it today. So what you have in front of you is Megillah Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Am I correct? And we're looking at Omer Rav Yeshua ben Levi. It's about 10 lines down from the top. The first word in the line is Me'ikara. Okay, Omer Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Nashim chayovos b'mikra Megillah Sha'af hein hayu bi'oso hanes. So women, despite the fact that the mitzvah is a time-bound mitzvah, mitzvah seishas man groma, noshim p'turos, here in this case they're obligated because af hein hayu b'oso hanes. Now this statement of Rabbi Shuv ben Levi appears twice besides here. Now it's all told three times in Shas. How do I know this? Not because I know all of Shas. But if you take a look, again, it's very small, but after the words Nashim Chayovas with Mikra Megillah, you'll see a little gimel there. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So that gimel sends you to what's called the Mesoris HaShas, all the way on the top right. And the Mesoris HaShas number gimel says Shabbos Chav Gimel Amid Aleph Psochim Kuf Ches Amid Beis. Now, the sugi in Shabbos Chav Gimel Amid Aleph is the sugi of Ner Chanukah. And there too, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that Noshim Chayovas B'Ner Chanukah Cha'af Ein Hoi Boso Anes. And the sugi in Psochim on Daf Kuf Ches Amid Beis is addressing the mitzvah of Dalid Kosos on Leil Pesach. And there too, even though it's a time-bound mitzvah, Noshim Chayovos B'Dalid Kosos Sha'af Ein Hoi Boso Anes. And here we have it in Masechet Megillah with regard to the mitzvah of Megillah. So let's quickly write ourselves a list of three places in Shas where we apply the principle of Af Hein Hayu Anes. We have Megillah, right? And we have Ner Chanukah. And we have Dalet Kosos. Excellent. One, two, three. And all of these cases, Shalom Aleichem, is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that Noshim Chayovos, because Af Hein Hayu Ba'oso Anes. And what we're going to see here in these three sugyas, regarding these three mitzvahs of Af Hein Hayu Ba'oso Anes, that there's a common thread that links together all these three mitzvahs. Obviously, Af Hein Hayu Ba'oso Anes, but besides that, because we, when we get down to fundamentals and we classify mitzvahs, we can classify them usually in one of two ways, either Esse versus Los Asse, or what? Doraisa versus the Rabbana. And what's common to all these three cases? They're all Rabbana. These are all mitzvahs to Rabbana. Whether or not you have the case of Megillah, which is Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah, which is Rabbanan, and Dalet Kosos. So it makes sense that when the Rabbanan establish a new mitzvah, that they analyze whether women, there's some sort of pressing justification for women being included in the mitzvah, despite the fact that it's Zman Grom. In other words, Heimomru, they're the ones who said that there is such a mitzvah, they're the ones who said that women are obligated. It's all within their authority. And why would they obligate women? So that's where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that we're going to ignore the fact that that it's a mitzvah seishman groma in favor of Af Hein Hayu Ba'oso Anes. Now let's talk about what Af Hein Hayu Ba'oso Anes means. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi here in Masechta Megillah has a pshat, but you'll soon see that elsewhere Rashi offers a different pshat. Rashi says, "Af hein hayu ba'oso anes." This is right above the Gilyan Ashas, if you see on the right side. Rashi says, "Afal anoshim gozar haman lahashmid laharog uliabed minar viad zokein tafin noshim." So let's first understand Rashi. How does Rashi define Af Hein Hayu Ba'oso Anes?
is like something which is critical in Jewish history.
And how does it impact on women? What is it that's critical in Jewish history that includes women?
That they were
which word would you underline here in this Rashi? Which, you know, which Rashi formulates a verb, but it would be really be a noun in a sense. But which word would you isolate that schleps women inside?
Gzera,
exactly. That there's going to be a gzera. There's going to be a suffering of the Jewish people. They're caught up in a trap, and the women are included in that decree. And how does Rashi know that the women are included in that decree? Because the pasuk says so in Megillas Esther. That Haman declared, I want to destroy men, women, and children. Technically, you could apply the principle of Afhein Hoyibosan as to the children as well. But we have a problem with the children. They're not chayiv in any mitzvahs. But maybe as far as chinuch is concerned, to educate them in the mitzvah, we should include them because Afhein Hoyibosan nes. So that's the Rashi right here. Now, before we go on, I want to show you other Rashis elsewhere. Because as I said to you before, this Afhein Hoyibosanes appears in two other sugyas. In the sugya of Ner Chanukah, that's in Shabbos, and in the sugya of Dalet Kosos in Pesachim. So we'll see that Rashi elsewhere seems to play a different tune as to what Afhein Hoyibosanes really means. But before we get to that, I want to ask you the following question. Can you think of another time-bound mitzvah that includes women as well? Other than these three. And the case that I have in mind is not at all related to Afhein Hoyibosanes. I'm just using it as an example to show you that if there's some sort of pressing reason to obligate women even in something that's man grama, then that's exactly what we'll do. In these three cases of Megillah, Chanukah, and Dalet Kosos, it's because of Afhein Hoyibosanes.
Does it have to be the Rabbanim?
Oh, I would even be happier if it was Doraisa, if I could.
Nerot Shabbat.
Excellent. Well, Nerot Shabbat, okay, Nerot Shabbat is the Rabbanim, but if you're on the hot topic for my purposes of Leil Shabbat, fast forward the clock a little bit, Joel. What mitzvah would women be chayav in? It might even be doraisa, even though it's time bound. Kiddush, right? So therefore, when I come home from shul, I have to make sure that I make kiddush for my wife, or she can make kiddush for herself. Now, why are women obligated in the mitzvah of kiddush? After all, it's a time bound mitzvah.
They were created.
I could say that almost about every mitzvah that women were created also. But why? What does Shabbos have that adds another element into the equation? Again, we spoke about classifying mitzvahs in one of two ways. Either it's esei lo saseh or it's doraisa or drabbanan. Okay? Shabbos is clearly doraisa. And I'm going to assume that Kiddush on Shabbos is also doraisa. Zachar es yom ha-Shabbos l'kacho. However, how would you classify Shabbos? Is it a mitzvah saseh or a mitzvah lo saseh?
Both.
Exactly. And that's the basis for obligating women in Kiddush. What we do is we take the two dimensions of Shabbos, the do-nots, which means the Iser Malacha, and the do's, which means Kiddush, and insofar as they're both part of the same coin, two sides of the same coin, we equate the two. And this is a Gemara in Masech the Shabbos on Daf Chaf Amid Beis. Now, if I had an eraser, I would write something on the board. But instead of an eraser, if nobody tattles on me, I'm going to use a few tissues. Okay. Now, watch what goes on over here. And this is what Binyamin was referring to, Shomar v'Zochar. Twice, the Torah tells us to observe the Shabbos. Once in Parshas Yisro, once in Parshas Vaschan. But the Torah uses two different words. One shomar, which means to observe the los hases of Shabbos, and the other is zocher, the positive command of kiddush. And the Gemara says the following in Shabbos on Daf Chav: Kol sheyeshno b'shomar, yeshno b'zocher. Since shomar and zocher, the negative part of Shabbos, the do not, and the zocher, the positive part of Shabbos, are two sides of the same coin, the Torah commands us Shomer Siyama Shabbos Kasho, Zocher Siyama Shabbos Kasho. Shabbos as an entity is comprised of these two elements. Chazal formulate the following principle: anyone who's included in the do nots is automatically included in the do's. And that's going to be the case of Shabbos. Women are included in the do nots. Why? Because women are included in all the lavim in the Torah. There's no lav that excludes a woman, except for maybe Baltakif, in the sense that she doesn't have a beard. But other than that, she's included in all the lavim. And that is that the difference between Esei Shazman Groma and Esei Sheina Zman Groma only applies to Mitzvah Saseh. And that, therein lies the distinction between men and women. But in Mitzvah Lo Saseh, they're equal to men. They have the same exact obligations. In Shabbos, therefore, as far as Shomer Yom Shabbos Kacho, the Lo Saseh, women are included. Who's ever included in the Lo Saseh is included in the essays. And the amazing thing is that this Gemara, which is in Shabbos Daf Chav, has almost what I call a mirror image in another sugya in Psachim Daf Mem Gimel. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I need a yes or no answer, but don't think about the question. Just give me an automatic answer. Do women have to eat matzah lil Pesach?
Yes.
Yes. Excellent. Why? Isn't it a classical case of a positive mitzvah that's time bound? Why are women obligated? So the Gemara Psachim Daf Mem Gimel gives us the following analysis. Matzah is part of a package deal. It has a flip side, which is the los haseh, and the positive side is the essay of eating matzah. What's the los haseh?
Women cannot transgress chametz.
Exactly. And the pasuk says, lo tochal chametz, but erev tochlu matzahs. So the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, kol sheyeshno. Sound familiar? We just finished the Gemara in Shabbos that says kol sheyeshno b'shomer yeshno b'zocher. Listen to the Gemara in Pesachim. Kol sheyeshno b'baal tochal chametz. Anyone is included in the violation of eating chametz. Yeshno b'kum echol matzah. Okay, Pesachim daf mem gimel. So what I'm trying to show you is that although our focus today in Rabbi Shub ben Levi is on Derabbanans, whether they be Megillah, Ner Chanukah, Dalet Kosos, but we do see, under a different kind of a principle, a different approach, that women might be included in a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, because that mitzvah saseh is the flip side of a lo saseh. And we offer a package presentation, what do they call it, a PowerPoint presentation, whatever they call it. And in that presentation, we have two sides. We've got the lo saseh, which certainly includes the lady folk, and we have the essay is now going to include the lady folk. So we have now two conclusions. Number one, that women are obligated in Kiddush on Shabbos, and that might be a doraisa, zochres yom Shabbos lekadsho. Women are obligated in eating matzah, and that for sure is a doraisa. And all this is based on the equation between the lo saseh and the essay. And on a doraisa level, we're going to find ourselves with exceptions to the rule of mitzvah saseh shazman groma. Noshim pturos, noshim chayotos, matzah and kiddush. Now, if you downgrade to a drabanan, we have three drabanans. And in all these three cases, women are obligated because of afhein hoyu b'osoanes. Says Rashi, what is afhein hoyu b'osoanes? They're included in the gzera of Haman, who said, larag l'hashmin l'abed es anoshim noshim v'taf. That's Rashi here in Masechta Megillah. Now what I want you to look at now is Tosfos in Masechta Megillah. Can you look at that? It's Tosas Dibra Maskel Sha'af Hein Hoyu Bi Oso At Nesbuchato Adino Elin Mechom Sha'akol Nia Bidvaro.
Amen. What
that business is? Daf Dalet Omen Aleph. Okay. Pirush Rashbam. Now this is very interesting. Tosas quotes the Rashbam. He skips over Rashi, and we'll soon see why. The Rashbam is a commentary, one of the Rishonim, one of the family of Rashi, who is critical in Masechta Psachim. And when you learn Masechta Psachim, after about the third parak and on, you're going to focus on the Rashbam, because Rashi no longer was alive. And the Rashbam says that the reason why women are included in the mitzvah of Megillah, Afein Hoy Bos HaNes, She'ikar HaNes Hoya Al Yodan. Who can translate those words? Ikar HaNes Hoya Al Yodan.
The essence of the Nes was in their hands.
Well, under their hands is a literal translation, but what does that mean, under their hands? I don't know, maybe in Spanish you would say under their hands. I don't know.
How would you,
is there such a phrase?
Well, it came through them.
It came through them. They were the ones who brought about the miracle. Now, in the case of Megillah, who would we pinpoint as the heroine of the Megillah that brought about the Ness? Obviously, Esther, correct? Not Zeresh. I know you're a big fan of Zeresh. I hold that we have to make a takana that when they mention Zeresh's name, we also have to slam the gragas. She was worse than her husband, I think. Anyway, but getting back to Esther Lahavdil, Esther was the one who brought about the miracle of Purim, and that's what he says in the name of the Rashbam, that Afhein Hoyu Bosa Nes Sheikar Nes Hoya Al Yodam Bepurim Al Yidei Esther. Now wait a second. If the Rashbam says that Afhein Hoyu Bosa Nes in the case of Megillas Esther is not the way Rashi has it here, namely because women were also included in the Gzeira, but Afhein Hoyu Bosa Nes means that they were the ones who were responsible for the miracle, then the Rashbam should be consistent about it. He should apply the same definition in the cases of Hanukkah, where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says women are obligated in Chanukah Afhein Hoyu Bos HaNes, and Dalet Kosos. How do you apply the principle of Afhein Hoyu Bos HaNes to Chanukah? I know about the Makabim. I never heard about the Makab. Makabot. Yeah, the Makabot.
They did the whole thing with the wine and the.
What was her name? Do you remember?
Yehudis.
Exactly. So that's what he says in the next line. Bechanak al yidei Yehudis. She was the one who chopped off his head. And with Pesach, okay, women were included in the whole golos of Pesach, of Mitzrayim, but were they responsible for bringing about the great exodus from Egypt?
Miriam?
Miriam brought the families together, if that's what you mean.
No, but not Miriam, sorry. Yocheved. Yocheved, when she told, when they wanted to murder all the Clara was to murder the men, and then they separated.
So she said, your Gzera is worse than Paro. Paro only made Gzera on the men, and you're making Gzera even on the women. But Tosis goes a step further, the name of the Rashbam. Listen to this. Brian, you want to hear something? It's not just Yocheved or Miriam. It's all of the women in Mitzrayim, all the Jewish women. Why? Because the Gemara says, Bizchus Noshim Tzidkonios Sheva Oso Ador Nigalu Avosenim Mitzrayim. The women folk, as a whole, had faith, had optimism, and that brought about the Geula of Mitzrayim. They were very careful about any sort of relationship, Chas Shalom, with a Mitzri, and so forth and so on. These were the Noshim Tzidkonios. So what does the Rashbam accomplish for us? Consistently, Afhein Hoyu Bos HaNes, in all three sugyos and shas, in all three mitzvahs to which Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi applies this principle, the women were the ones who were responsible for the miracle.
That's all through history.
What do you say?
That's all through history. Women are always at the forefront of the revolution.
They're at the helm. They're the power behind the throne, right?
I know people say I'm a big shoulder, and I am, but I'm just saying the biggest revolutions that have taken place have been the women. The women have been always.
They say that, you ever hear the phrase, behind every great man there's a great woman? Do you ever hear that?
Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
It's very true.
So here I want to share with you something very interesting. That Tosfos here quotes the Rashbam. He's about to ask a question on the Rashbam. The Rashbam appears in Psachim, in the Sugi of Dalit Kosos. And there the Rashbam says, Al Yidei Hanoshim Nigalu Avosei B'Mitzrayim. So the Rashbam is very consistent. So that's the Rashbam that Tosfos is quoting. That Rashbam is in Psachim, in the Sugya of Dalit Kosos. Rashi in Psachim says the following: Af hein hoyboso anes kidamrinan. He quotes the Gemara in Sota: Bischar noshim tzidkaniyol shebaosa ador nigalu. That the Geula took place because of the women of that generation. V'chein gabi mikra megila, nami amrin and hachi, to be shum de al yedei Esther nigalu, v'chein gabi ner chanuk. So it's unbelievable. Rashi, Masechta Psachim, is completely oblivious to what he says over here in Masechta Megila. Maybe Rashi changed his mind. Rashi in Psachim, like the Rashbam quoted here in Tosfos, holds that Afein Hoy Bosanes means that the women brought about the miracle. Rashi here in Masechta Megillah says Afein Hoy Bosanes means they're included in the Gzera of Homa. Very interesting how Rashi goes in two different ways. Now I want to quote to you a Yerushalmi in Masechta Megillah. The Yerushalmi says, Sarech Lekrosa Lefnei Anoshim, Sha'af hein hoyu bi oso ha-sofik. Instead of ha-nes, the Yerushalmi says that they were in the sofik. Does anybody know what the word sofik means in this particular context? It doesn't mean what it normally means. You know, that there's a sofik. I don't know if it's osur, I don't know if it's mutter. Sofik, it means the gzera. Sofik means the life endangering situation. That's the sofik. And the Yerushalmi goes on to tell us that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used to gather together the men and the women and the children and he used to read the Megillah in front of them. So the Yerushalmi Megillah would seem to support Rashi in Megillah of Afhein Hoyboso Gzera. But Rashi Masechta Psachim and the Rashbam in Psachim, quoted here in Tosfos and Megillah, they hold that Afhein Hoyboso, this means that they were responsible for bringing about the nest. Tosfos is not happy with this pshat. He says that kosher, the lashon af, usually when you say an even they were included in the miracle. What does that sound like?
That's not something main, that's something
right, secondary. It's like a chiddush. It's almost secondary, right? You're not primary. He says, mashma shein tfelos. Ulapirusho, according to the Rashbam, and we saw it in Rashi in Psachim as well, Hoyalomar Shehain, not Afhein, which would imply that they were secondary, Tfelos, but Hain, that they were the Iker HaMiracle. They brought about the miracle, they were primary. Lekach Nira Li, and at this point Tosfos drops the Rashbam and he goes back to Rashi's Pshacha Afhein Hoy Besofek, which is a quote from the Yerushalmi, "Dilahashmidu la'arik v'chein bePesach hayu mishubotus l'parav Mitzrayim." They are included in the slavery of Mitzrayim. V'chein b'Chanukah hagzera ha'isa ma'od aleihem. Now, when Tosfos says hagzera ha'isa ma'od aleihem, this has to do with the Greeks. The Rambam hints at it in his codification of Hilchos Chanukah that the Jewish women folk became the victim of the attack of the Yevanim, particularly. That on the first night of marriage they would take them and then so forth and so on. I don't want to go into all the details. So certainly in terms of the miracle and the salvation, in all these three cases, says Tosfos, the women desperately needed the salvation, whether it be in the case of Megillus Esther, where the Gzeira was on women as well, whether it be in the case of the slavery in the Shiva to Mitzrayim, whether it be in the case of the Yevanim in Hanukkah, all these cases, women were included in the Gzeira. Now, Rabosai, at this point in Tosfos, I would press the return button, as I say, meaning this really starts a new paragraph. In fact, if you look carefully, there might be a period.
Yeah.
You see that in a little bit of space. Probably the printer realized that this is already a slightly new paragraph. Now, Rabosai, let me say a few words of introduction so that you'll appreciate where Tosfos is taking us now. Are women obligated in matzah? Who remembers?
Yeah, it is.
Why are women obligated in matzah despite the fact that it's a time-bound mitzvah? Because kol sheyeshno v'al tochal chametz, the Gemara says in Megillah Daf in Pesachim Daf Mem Gimel, yeshno v'kum v'asei echol matzah. Now, understand two things. Number one, if the Gemara needs what's called, if you pardon the fancy term, a yalfusa, right, a yalfusa, which means a biblical derivation, then it means that there's no svara. If there was a svara, a logical, compelling reason, I wouldn't need a derivation, and this is a very complex derivation, a yalfusa. Point number two is that if there's a yalfusa, it means the Torah itself went out of her way to create this yalfusa, and it juxtaposed in one pasuk, or continuously, the mitzvah of achilas matzah with the isra achilas chametz, in order to teach us that women are obligated in matzah. So all this is necessary, all this hype, because of mitzvah seishas man grama. I would have thought that women don't have to eat matzah, and the answer is they do have to eat matzah because of this kol sheyeshno. This is the introduction to Tosfos. Tosfos says, I can't justify why we need this yalfusa. I have an outstanding svara to generate a chiyuv for women in the midst of matzah. Why? If you know the title of that shiur tonight, then you'll know the answer to my question.
They were part of the nes.
Afein ha'yibosan nes. Exactly. They were part of the nes of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Whether you take Tosfos' understanding that Bishchus Noshim Sidkonis in the Rashbam, or Tosfos' final maskana that they were included in the slavery, whatever it is, women were part of the package deal of Shibud Mitzrayim and the Hatzola and the Geula of Mitzrayim. Says Tosfos, Kavi Matzah, Yesh Maksha. He doesn't identify. One of the Balei Tosfos raises this question. Lomali Hekesha, why do we need this Hekesh? Can you see it inside? Mm-hmm. Of kol sheyeshno v'bal tochal chametz, yeshno b'kum echol matzah. Why do I need this? Tepuklei, what does tepuklei mean?
Learn it from, derive it from.
Correct, derive it from. Itam sha'af hein ha'yu b'yoso ades. Now, Rabosai, what premise is Tosfos operating with about the authority, the power of Afhein Hoibos on this? On a halachic level. I'm not talking about Jewish philosophy here. I'm talking about halacha. How much of an impact, how far can we go with Afhein Hoibos on this?
That's not only for Dalet Kosovich to Rabbanan, but this is the writer.
Exactly. All three cases in Shas where we find Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi exercising the principle of Afhein Hoyodes, what's common to all three of them, whether it's Megillah, whether it's Hanukkah, whether it's Dalet Kosos, they're all what kind of mitzvahs? The Rabbanan. The Rabbanan have a power to include women in the mitzvah. If there's a compelling logic to do so. If they created a mitzvah which is Zechel Nes, women were part of that miracle, they needed it just like the men, they're going to obligate the women as well. They're going to completely be oblivious to the principle of mitzvah saseh shazman grama, freeze that, and instead obligate the women. Now Tosis is going one step further. He's talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa of achilas matzah. For that, I'm not sure that afein ha'yirosa nes is going to operate. Can you generate a chiyuv of mitzvah d'oraisa based on the logic of afein ha'yirosa nes? Couldn't one argue that for that reason I need this hekesh in which the Torah itself juxtaposed the mitzvah of matzah together with the Yisra achilas chametz to establish a chiyuv d'oraisa upon the women to eat the matzah? But afein ha'yirosa nes, that is a mechanism that operates on a drabbanon level. But the nafkamina is going to be where the women are obligated midoraisa, or they're only obligated midrabbana. And we have a zillion different differences between a mitzvah doraisa and a mitzvah drabbana. So if you take a look at Tosfos, he says, V'yesh lomar, d'mishum d'hai taima lohavi mechaiva ela midrabbanon ilav mehakesha. Perhaps we can fit our logic into Tosfos. If we were only operating with the reasoning of afein ha'yibosanes, we could only go as far as being mechayv the midrabbana. But yeshno bebal tochal chametz, the hekesh, that's going to generate a chiyuv dorais. So it means the following: you could have a mitzvah which the rabbanon would apply the principle of afein and obligate the women, but if that mitzvah lends itself to the svar of afhein, that at the end of the day, as a result of afhein, all you'll achieve is a chiyuv d'rabbana. But afhein ha'yibosanes could not achieve the goal of a mitzvah d'oraisa. For that I need the alfusa, the special limud of the hekesh of kol sheyesh.
How do we know automatically that eating matzah on Pesach is automatically, it's for the nes?
Correct. That's another good question. So I'm going to hold off on that question because that's going to be the punchline of the shiur today. But you took it away from me a little bit, okay? So you have to pay me 10 zehuvim kesef, because the Gemara says if you steal someone's mitzvah, you have to pay him compensation. Oh. Now we get to Rabbi Yosef Ish Yerushalayim. You remember him? He lives up the block here in Katama. Right? Tosis says, Rabbeinu Yosef, Ish Yerushalayim. You see how important it is to be an Ish Yerushalayim. Not just because it makes you a legitimate mayoral candidate. He says the following. Tiretz. Salka daitich lemiftere migzera shava detesvav tesvav dechagas sukos. The Pirashti Beperek Elu Over. Whoa. This Rabbi Yosef is saying something entirely different. He's telling us that even if I'll grant you that Afein Hoyosanes could obligate the women like the men and give them even a mitzvah d'oraisa of matzo, but I have another piece of logic that would contradict that logic. And with the mechanics of this contradictory logic, I come to the opposite conclusion that women should be exempt from the mitzvah of matzah. And that's based on Gzeirah Shavah, Tesvav, Tesvav. So let's just talk about Gzeirah Shavah, Tesvav, Tesvav. In the yeshiva world, they call it 2-2. In two places, the Torah uses the term, in two contexts, Chamishasar, the 15th. In the context of Chodesh Tishrei, that's the holiday of what? Of Sukkot, and in the context of Chodesh Nisan, the holiday of Pesach. And here, the Chamishaso, which repeats itself twice in these two contexts, creates what's called a Gzeirah Shavah. A Gzeirah Shavah is something that you have to receive from your Rebbein. It's got to be ish mipi ish. It has to be handed down to with an unbroken tradition transmission. You can't just come up one day and make up your own Gzeirah Shavahs. There was a well-accepted Gzeirah Shavah that teaches us that on the night of Sukkot, we must eat in the Sukkah. Where does it say in the Torah we have to eat in the Sukkah on the night of Sukkot? first night of Sukkot, it only says 7 days. And we know that during the rest of the 7 days, except for the first night, you don't have to eat in the sukkah. You can starve yourself, or you can eat something that's less than a shear of a pas. But on the first night of Sukkot, you must eat in the sukkah. How do we know such a thing? We derive it from Tesvav Tesvav. Because just like on the first night of Pesach, we must eat matzah, the rest of Pesach, it's a reshus, you want to eat matzah, that's fine. Again, you know, there are all sorts of issues here about eating matzah and all. But anyway, that's up to you if you want to eat matzah. Now you can get spelt matzahs. Okay, whatever your favorite matzah is. You know, we used to make fun of the hand shmura matzah. You know, we used to say, I shouldn't say this publicly, it tastes like cardboard, we used to say. But you could get fresh hand shmura matzah, I guess, if you pay through your nose. But you'll eat matzah if you decide to eat them. But on the first night, there's no matter of choice. It's an absolute obligation. But erev, tochlu matzahs. How do we know that on the first night of Sukkot, we must eat in the sukkah? And the answer is, tesvav, tesvav, because of this gzereshon. So we have now almost like an open-ended pipeline that we can derive conclusions in halacha from sukkah to Psochim and to Leil Pesach, and from Leil Pesach to Sukkah. Says Rabbeinu Yosef Ish Yerushalayim, if all things were equal and all I have is Afhein Hayu Bosan Nes to obligate women in matzah, I'm going to say that women are potter from matzah based on the equation to Sukkah. That's called Tesvav Tesvav. What's Halach in Sukkah?
I don't know. It's in
exactly. Women are exempt from Sukkah. Why are women exempt from Sukkah? So the Gemara says that we have Halach L'Moshe B'Sinai to teach us that women are exempt from Sukkah. Why do we need Halach L'Moshe B'Sinai? Because we might think that if women are obligated in matzah, they should be obligated in sukkah. No, we're going to go the other way around. We're going to say that women are exempt from sukkah because of Halach L'Moshe B'Sinai, and now, through the Gzeirah Shavah, equating matzah with sukkah, women are going to be exempt from matzah. So even though you have a very strong Svaratosis claims to obligate women in matzah, and that is because afhein hayu bosan nes, but I have a counter logic to undermine the obligation of women in matzah, and that's the gzeirah shavah, which equates matzah to sukkah. And if in sukkah we know through the halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai that women are exempt, therefore we're going to derive through this gzeirah shavah that women are exempt from the mitzvah of matzah. Now I asked you before, why was there a havamina before the halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai that women would be obligated in sukkah? So I want to tell you that the Gemara itself actually raises this question. And I'm going to read to you the language of the Gemara. This is a Gemara in Sukkah Daf Chav Zayin. The Gemara says the following, that you have to eat a certain number of meals inside the sukkah. And the Gemara says, my taima teishvu ke'ein taduru. So the way you would eat in your house, that's the way you eat in the sukkah. Then the Gemara goes on to say the following. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok, Nemar kan chamishasar. With regard to sukkah, it says chamishasar. V'nemar chamishasar b'chaga matzos. Mala halon leil rishon chova, mikan v'yelech rishus. Afkan, here too by sukkah, leil rishon chova mikan v'elich rishus. That's on daf chav zayin. On daf chav vav, the Mishnah says noshim pturos min asukkah. Women are exempt from sukkah. So the Gemara says minani mili. How do you know that women are exempt from sukkah? Amar Rabba hilchasa. Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So the Gemara says, Hilchas Alamali, why do you need Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai to exempt women from Sukkah? Hasukah mitzvah seishas man grom, v'chol mitzvah seishas man grom, and Hashem p'turos. Omer Abaye, salkedai techamina teishu ke'em toduru. My dira ish v'ishto, af sukkah nami ish v'ishto. If not for the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, I would have exercised the principle of teishu ke'em toduru, and I would have assumed that the man doesn't have to live in the sukkah without his wife. She's obligated to join him in the sukkah. Rava says no. He doesn't like that. Itzrich, salkadai techamina, neilif chamisha sar michaga matzis. Ma lahalon, in the case of matzah, noshim chayovas afkan, noshim chayovas komashma. Now, both Abai and Rava agree that women are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. Both Abai and Rav agree, why are women exempt from sukkah? Because of halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai. The machlokas between Abai and Rav is why we needed the halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai in order to establish that women are exempt from sukkah. Whereas Abai understood that teishu came to duru, Rav said, we're going to equate it with matzah. The bottom line is, as I said before, kuli alma lo pligi, everyone agrees that women are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. Says Rabbeinu Yosef, East Yerushalayim, if women are exempt from sukkah, they should likewise be exempt from matzah. By virtue of this pipeline, as I call it, of tesvav, tesvav, the gzeres shava, equating sukkah and matzah. Now, you're going to come along and say, but afein hoyu bosanes. Well, afein hoyu bosanes is a very nice piece of logic, but it's not going to be compelling in the face of a gzeres shava. If the gzeres shava tells me that just like women are exempt from sukkah, so too they're exempt from matzah, then afhein hoyu bosanes is powerless in light of that gzeres shava to generate a chiyuv on women. So how do I know that women are chayav in matzah? Ah, because the Torah went out of its way to juxtapose the Isur Chametz with the mitzvah of matzah, to teach me the hekesh that kol she yeshno v'bal tochal chametz yeshno b'kumachol matzah. So let's just summarize. Tosus wants to know, why does the Gemara need in Masechta Pesachim Daf Mem Gimel a very complex derivation to establish that women are obligated in matzah? Who needs it? Why not just obligate women in matzah because of afein hoyu bosanes? Two answers. First answer, in the name of an anonymous chacham in the Bali Atosus, that if I only have afein hoyu bosanes, I can only go as far as to obligate them midrabbana. I need kol sheyeshno in order to establish a mitzvah doraisa, a Torah, biblical obligation incumbent upon women to eat matzah. Second answer, Tosus. Rabbeinu Yosef, Ish Yerushalayim. You can derive a doraisa, even a doraisa from afhein hoy bosanes. But the problem is we have a gzer shava that equates sukkah with matzah and matzah with sukkah. And we know that women are exempt from sukkah. How do we know that women are exempt from sukkah? Halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai. If women are exempt from sukkah by virtue of halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai, then gzeres shava teach me that likewise they're exempt from matzah. And here, afhein hoyu bosanes is not going to help. So afhein hoyu anes, it's like a chess game here. It's knocked off by the gzeres shava of tesvav, tesvav, the equation to sukkah. But now I have a new equation, and that's this derivation, the alfusa of kol she'eshno bal tochal chametz yeshno v'kumas chol matzah. Without that hekesh, I have two options. The first, Teretz and Tosu would claim that without that hekesh, women would be obligated in the mitzvah of matzah, but only midrabbanan. According to the second Teretz and Tosu, enochinami afein hoyu bosanes would have the power to generate a mitzvah d'oraisa, but not in this case, because we have an equation between sukkah and matzah. And the equation between sukkah and matzah is going to teach me that women, insofar as they're exempt from sukkah, they're exempt from matzah as well. And that's going to neutralize the svara of afhein hoyu bosanes. Kamash malon, now I need the hekesh between bal tochal chametz and kumachol matzah. Whoever is included in the isur chametz is included in the mitzvah of eating matzah, and therefore women are obligated to eat matzah. But I couldn't derive that from afhein hoyu bosanes.
who are learning principle of these three methods of learning, that which one is stronger than the other one? Or
yeah, it would seem that a Yalfusa is a lot stronger than a Svara. Therefore, if I weigh Afhein Hoyu Bosanes against the Alfusa of Sukkah, of Tesvav, then the Alfusa beats out the Svar of Afhein Hoyu Bosanes. So at this point, I'm really in the dark. I have no way of generating a Chiyuv Matzah for ladies. But now comes a new Yalfusa, and that Yalfusa is called Sheyeshna. Now I have been Yoman's cash over here. Well, I just had Xerish Shavav, Tesvav. That tells me that women are, since they're exempt from Sukkah, therefore they should be exempt from what? From Matzah. So, what are you telling me called Sheyeshna about Tochal Chometz? The Hekesh includes women in Matzah. What about the Xerish Shavav? Why in the battlefield does the Gzeir Shavah defeat Afein Hoyubos Anes, but it doesn't defeat the Kol Sheyeshna? Does anybody here want to take a stab at it?
I think because of the gravity of the love?
No. It has to do with the Gzeir Shavah. What is the Gzeir Shavah? Is it specific or general? Do you follow my question? In other words, you could have two types of derivations. One derivation is very specific. It's pinpointed. You know, it's like the Air Force going in to wherever they go in, and they pinpoint those terrorists, you know, that they have to take out. You know, it's very pinpointed. It's very specific. There's another type of derivation. And that gives you a general equation, and now you fill in the details. And there may be a whole list of halachas that you derive from that general kind of derivation. Which is more powerful? A specific, exclusive. When I say exclusive derivation, I mean it only applies in one case, it's pinpointed, or a general derivation. Which is more powerful?
General.
No, the specific. I'll tell you why. Because the specific derivation is coming to take one little brick out of the, one little piece of the puzzle out of the equation. Meaning, we now have a general equation between matzah and sukkah. We can derive many, many different halachas from that equation. Take, for example, how much matzah do you have to eat? How much do you have to eat in the sukkah? You might ask yourself if you can eat in the sukkah before nightfall because you're mekabel tosef for Shabbos. You might ask the question of whether it's obligatory or it's only reshus. There's going to be a whole list of enumerated halachas that you can derive from that gzeir shav. So the gzeir shav is only a general kind of pinpoint. It gives you license to make this equation, but if I have a specific pinpointed derivation that takes one thing out of the equation, meaning in the case of matzah, the Torah tells us that if you're included in chametz, you're included in matzah, that comes to limit the gzeir shavah tesvav. It takes the issue of are women obligated in matzah out of the purview of this gzeir shavah. If I didn't have kol sheyeshna, then I would assume that women are exempt from matzah to the same extent they're exempt from sukkah. In other words, the general derivation of tesvav is innocent until proven guilty. In other words, until I know otherwise, I assume that every single halacha could be derived. Now, ask me the opposite question. Let's say I have exer shavah between sukkah and matzah. Why don't I derive the following conclusion? Well, if women are obligated in matzah based on this hekesh, then women should be obligated in sukkah. And what's the answer to that? Halacha Moshe Misina. Exactly. And that's exactly what Rava points out. So the Halacha Moshe Misina is again a pinpointed kind of derivation. And it says specifically that women are exempt from sukkah. On the other hand, to make the jump and say that women now should be exempt from matzah, that's true until I know otherwise. Meaning that's a general open-ended kind of derivation called tesvav, but if I can pinpoint a yalfusa that would say that despite this equation between sukkah and matzah, women, although they're part of sukkah, chayav and matzah, then I take that equation, or shall I say, I take that element out of the equation. Why? Because I have pinpointed yalfusa. So I have this general yalfusa, And now that I have the halacha Moshe Misina, it tells you women are exempt from sukkah. I would apply that logically to matzah. But that's part of a general open-ended, open pipeline that equates sukkah with matzah.
So you can use it for a whole bunch of things, but not for...
Oh, but not for matzah. Why not for matzah? Because of this hekesh. Mm-hmm. If not for this hekesh, I would go in one direction. Which direction would I go? I would go from sukkah to matzah. And I would say that women are exempt from sukkah, they're exempt from matzah. Why am I forced to go that direction? Because the halacha Moshe Misinai. The halacha Moshe Misinai is like an explicit word from God that women are exempt from sukkah. It's unbudgeable. Now I have the 2-2, the Gzeir Shavah, I'm going to apply the same halacha to matzah. Women are exempt from matzah. Unless I can take matzah out of the equation with a pinpointed kind of derivation. And that's called kol sheyeshno b'bal tochal chametz, yeshno b'kumas echol matzah. The svara of af hein hayu b'anes, according to Rabbi Yosef, could have and would have and should have obligated women in matzah. That's the premise.
On the Rabbanan level.
According to the first day in Tosfos on the Rabbanan level, according to Rabbi Yosef, Yishmael Shlaim on the Doraisa level, the reason I'm blocked and I cannot apply that Afein HaYusanes is because of the Gzeirah Shavah. So the Gzeirah Shavah defeats a Svara. Why? Because the Gzeirah Shavah is a Alfusa. It's something written in the Torah. Svara is our human logic. However, at the end of the day, women are going to be obligated in Matzah, but not because of Afein HaYusanes, but rather because of kol sheyesh. So those are the two answers in Tosfos. And now I want to share with you, which I photocopied here, I only made one copy because I couldn't figure out how to do it on the photocopy machine. So if you want to share this, there's another insight here in the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. That was my Rebbe's father. And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik,
It was a son of
Reb Chaim Bris? Yes, the Bechor of Reb Chaim Bris. And Reb Moshe wants to offer a third answer. And here's where the press is going to come to the press, right? Reb Moshe wants to say that the whole assumption of Tosfos, that Af Heino Hoyisubos HaNesh should generate an obligation of to women in matzah, is not correct. He wants to argue against the very premise of this Tosfos. It's pretty way out. And he says the following. Let me try to see if I can present it as best as I can. He says the following. You can have mitzvos which are meant to commemorate a miracle. That's one category. But Afhein Hoyibos, this is something beyond that. It's where the mitzvah itself recreates the ness. It demonstrates the miracle. It publicizes the miracle. Now what that means in the context of Masechta Megillah that we're learning in Ritz Hashem this year is Pirsum HaNes. When we read the Megillah, that becomes a vehicle to publicize the Nes. So the mitzvah itself, in its very nature, by its very essence, is publicizing the miracle. This makes Megillah into what I call a complex mitzvah. What do I mean by a complex mitzvah? It has two parts to it. It's the act of reading the Megillah and the mitzvah to yell out and scream out with a foghorn the miracle. Publicize the miracle. I'm almost tempted to think that if someone would read the Megillah and he knows nothing about what goes on in the Megillah, it's written in Lashon Kodesh and he understands French or Spanish or some other language, and basically the Megillah is Greek there, then in such a case, he forfeits the mitzvah of Megillah. Megillah has an element of what I call an experiential element. You've got to experience the miracle and publicize it. That's what Megillah is all about. The same thing applies to Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is a way in which we duplicate the original miracle.
In fact, the Baal HaMor, one of the great Rishonim of the Sephardic tradition, was of the opinion that the reason why we're not allowed to benefit from the Ner Hanukkah for our own purposes and personal benefits is because it has the status of the menorah and the Ner in the Beis HaMikdash. You see clearly that we're going back to the basics of the miracle. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, the reason why we light the candle for 8 days is because a great miracle happened, and for 8 days the candle lit. We're doing everything that we possibly can to duplicate the miracle. The Maharal Prague writes that if, in the ideal sense, you should use not candles, as we call them, not wax or anything like that, but olive oil. Because in the Migdash, when the Nes took place, it was Shemen, it was a Pak Shemen. So the act of lighting the Hanukkah candles has two parts to it. It's a multi-dimensional mitzvah. It's an act, a ma'aseh mitzvah, but it's also a cue of duplicating and replicating and publicizing the miracle. Same thing about Dalet Kosos. When you drink the Dalet Kosos, it's got to be derech chirus. The Gemara says, it's got to demonstrate that you're a ben chorin, that you're a free person. A servant, a slave, doesn't drink wine, at least not four cups. Somebody told me that in Canada, as of a week ago Wednesday, they changed the law, and somebody now wants to suppose that instead of drinking four cups of wine on Lael Seder in Canada, they're going to be smoking four something or others. I don't know what they call them.
Joints.
Oh, joints they call? Like the joints of your body? Yeah. Okay. I can't even begin to imagine what that person thinks about Purim. I mean, forget it, you know. We're going to be serving cookies in Canada on Purim until they're going out of... Right, Hamantash. But Canadian Hamantash. Well, maybe Uruguay, I think, also. Anyway. So, Lamaisa, we have three mitzvahs to Rabbanan, to which Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi applies Afein Hoyibosa Nes to obligate the women. What's common to all of these three mitzvahs is that the action itself is made to duplicate the miracle, kind of re-experience it, and show it off, and publicize it. That's the key of a person on this. That's where women are going to be out. Says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, not so in the case of matzah. Matzah maybe commemorates the miracle, but you don't have to have in mind that you are publicizing it. And how does Rav Moshe know this? This is what we have to add to what Yossi said. Says Rav Moshe, an unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara says, Kafu lechol matzah. They forced him to eat matzah against his will on the night of Pesach. Yatsa yedecho vasa. So Rav Moshe asks the following question. Wait a minute. If the purpose, what?
He's an Eved.
I'm saying, yeah, if the purpose of the mitzvah is to show that he's no longer an Eved, he's really an Eved, right? He's not eating matzah because he wants to publicize the freedom. He's eating matzah because it's matzah all your life. Now, why this guy is forcing him to eat matzah, I don't know. I never understood that part of the Gemara. Says Rav Moshe, you see that. That the mitzvah of matzah is a mono, how do you say monolithic? Is there such a word? It's a monolithic and not a complex mitzvah. It's not a
one dimensional.
It's not two dimensional, it's one dimensional. It means that there's no element of publicity, there's no element of experiencing the miracle in the achilas matzah. I can eat matzah simply because they force me, like the Gemara says, that if a person blows a shofar on Rosh Hashanah simply because of musical enjoyment, God knows why he wants to blow a shofar. I could have thought of a number of other instruments. But he chose a shofar. Reverie. And he got out of tekiah, shofar, and drew a tekiah. Gemara says he's yotze. Why? Because the mitzvah of shofar is simply hearing the shofar. You don't have to have that extra element of an experience, and certainly not Pirsum Anes. Comes over Moshe Soloveitchik, and he wants to claim, if you don't mind closing the door, if it's not a hassle, that so too matzah, although it might commemorate a miracle, It might remind us of a miracle, but the action itself is not performed in order to demonstrate or re-experience the miracle. We're not putting on a play and on stage staging the miracle. That might be true in three other cases, three other mitzvahs, but not in the case of achilas matzah. And since achilas matzah, pardon the pun, is dry, it's a dry cut mitzvah, it doesn't have that extra element of being an experiential mitzvah of a kiyum shebelev. Therefore, kafu lechol matzah yotza, then women would not be obligated in af hein hayusos. Af hein hayusos means that if they were part of the miracle and the halach of the mitzvah requires them to publicize the miracle, women no less than men are required to publicize the miracle. But if it's an action that the Torah obligates because of a miracle, but the action is simply a technical maisa action, a maisa mitzvah, achilas matzah, then afen hoyibosanes could not generate a chiyuv on women. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, even if I grant the premise of Rav Yosef Yishushalayim that afen hoyibosanes has the power to generate a mitzvah doraisa, I cannot generate a mitzvah on the women in the case of matzah based on afhein. Afhein oyosanes would not apply to the mitzvah of matzah. Memela, I need kol she yeshno v'bal tochal chometz, yeshno v'kum achol echol matzah. So I think at this point we might have to stop for Meiriv. If somebody can now open the door, I asked you to close the door just a minute ago, and tell me this door, not that one.
Also,
yeah.
I would have thought, but I'm wrong, that the way the Torah describes out of Sukkim, that matzah like dalet kosot has that experiential thing, but it's not that way.
So that's where Moshe says, what are you going to do with this gemara about kafu lechol matzah? The only reason he's eating the matzah is because it's his life at stake, and yet he's yotzei the mitzvah. No.
But in the Holocaust, people went out of the way.
Binyam, just open the door, yeah. Just so I can hear Baruch Hu, in case I don't want to miss Baruch Hu. I don't want you to miss Baruch Hu.
And I hear of rabbis in the Holocaust that went to some extent to make matzah or pesa because they wanted the freedom, because the opposite, they didn't feel.
They felt the experience of freedom.
They didn't have it, they felt it. It was the opposite.
Okay, I'm just telling you what Rav Moshe said.